This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. President Bush cited Iraq's weapons of mass destruction to justify the recent war with Iraq. So far, none has been found. Tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, the implications for American intelligence and American credibility. Right now, we're turning our attention to Iran. For the past week, Iranian students have been demonstrating in the streets of Tehran and in other cities. They've been denouncing both the conservative clerics and Iranian reformers. Since the U.S. victory over Iran's neighbor Iraq, the Bush administration has been applying more pressure on Iran on the issues of its support for terrorists and its alleged nuclear weapons program. This past weekend, President Bush spoke in favor of the student demonstrators, calling them a positive step towards free expression in Iran. The Iranian government has filed a protest complaining about what it describes as interference in Iran's internal affairs. If you have thoughts about the U.S. recent statements about the Iranian government and about the student demonstrations, our phone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Or you can email us, TOTN at NPR.org. Joining us to talk about the recent demonstrations in Iran is Kaveh Eshani, an editor of how do you pronounce that?
You pronounce it Goftagu.
Goftagu. You pronounce it Goftagu. I mispronounce it. Thanks for your patience with
me.
No
problem.
It's a prominent intellectual magazine in Iran, and he joins us on the line from Chicago. In 1979, when Washington cut ties with Tehran after the takeover of the U.S. embassy there during the 1979 Islamic Revolution, now 30 years later, these students seem to have a different agenda.
Yes, indeed they do. I mean, you know, if you talk to the generation of students who took over the American embassy, who most of them happen to be actually the prominent leaders of the reform movement, they will tell you that what they wanted at that time was pretty much what the students want nowadays, you know, which is more freedom, more democracy, more national sovereignty and independence and so on and so forth. But I think, you know, these students, the difference between that generation and this generation is that this generation was not raised under the monarchy, and they are, you know, by and large the product of the post-revolution period, the war, the revolution, the civil war that we had in Iran. And therefore, you know, they don't really have, they have very little illusion about the role of, let's say, you know, political Islam or the theocratic aspect of the Iranian revolution. And what they want is really more freedom and, you know, the you know, actual popular sovereignty, democracy, to have a say in the way that the country is run, and also, you know, economic security and a future, like pretty much like anybody else in the world.
Like anybody else. There is a huge demographic bulge. The tremendous percentage of the population in Iran is below the age of 25, and thus, as you just said, did not grow up under the monarchy, but under the Ayatollahs. Is there economic development in Iran to provide jobs for all of these young people?
Well, you know, Iran had a population explosion. I mean, you know, to just give you a sense of it, in the mid-70s, the population was something in the vicinity of 35 million. Now it's in the vicinity of 70 million. So we've had a, you know, de facto doubling of the population, and there are very few economies in the world that can really provide the jobs and the, you know, and the, you know, the openings in the economic sphere to keep up with this kind of population expansion. On top of that, we have to remember that there was a Iran-Iraq war throughout the 80s that cost Iran at least $1 trillion in damages and 1 million people casualties. So you've had, and then, you know, with the political insecurity and the disruptions and all that, you had the flight of capital, you had the nationalization of the economy, and perhaps more than anything else, you know, there's the de facto embargo imposed on Iran by the U.S. that really makes everything much more expensive and much more difficult for Iran to participate in the international economy. And, you know, in addition, there are all these laws that were passed after the revolution that prevent foreign investments and de facto, you know, prevent Iran from participating in the you know, in a more open economy. So, you know, there are blockages. There are political blockages, but at the same time, you know, there's the legacy of the war and the disruptions of the revolution that really make it difficult for the economy to really expand at this point.
So, from what you're saying, then the economy stinks and there's no jobs for these people.
Well, there are jobs. I mean, one has to be a little balanced and fair. I mean, I think they Actually, in the past 6-7 years, they've, the President Khatami's government has tried to do what it can, and you know, there's a lot of discussion about the corruption and mismanagement of the economy that we hear now, which is very true. But part of it is because the reformers, ever since they've taken over the parliament and the government, have been a lot more transparent. To be fair to them, you know, in terms of making the state more accountable and publishing the result of what they're doing and submitting, you know, government institutions to audits. So a lot of the problems that existed before are not, you know, are much more transparent and open to scrutiny nowadays. And this makes a big difference.
Yet some of the students are protesting against the reformers, saying how disappointed in them they are and that they did not go anywhere near far enough.
That is true, yes. I mean, this is, you know, I mean, initially these student protests started based on a rumor, which is not actually quite correct, you know, that the state-run universities were to be privatized and, you know, impose tuition on students. And a lot of students are provincial students and also, you know, from lower middle classes and, you know, with economic difficulties, so they could not afford to pay higher tuitions or any tuitions at all. So this really, you know, understandably disturbed them because they have to go through really stringent entrance examinations to get into the university system. And, you know, this, you know, so it was a student demand per se, but it became very rapidly politicized and partly provoked into being politicized in a very radical way. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, just to kind of deal with the politics of these student protests, we have to be my reading of it is this, that if the student demonstrations and protests had actually stayed their course on the student demands, you know, that, you know, for reforming the universities, they would have spread much wider and much more, have become much more radicalized in the sense that students in other cities and in other universities would have joined this protest.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that they became politicized, you know, immediately were kind of provoked into, you know, giving slogans against the leader and the, you know, and the political leadership of the country and all that, led to, you know, open the way basically for bands of thugs and even the police to come and kind of try to repress them. And, you know, this basically dampened the potential of the protests from spreading much wider.
We just have a little time left. Obviously, the Bush administration has cheered these demonstrations as a sign of opposition to the government, which, of course, the Bush administration opposes as well. Would Americans be wrong, though? Is it too simplistic to say just because they're marching against the Iranian government, that doesn't necessarily mean they're pro-American, does it?
Not at all. I mean, I think the Bush administration is kind of divided in terms of what policy to pursue about Iran. But they're also playing a very dangerous game. I mean, because time is limited, let me just say this, that I think, you know, the political game in Iran is really to build a democracy from bottom up. And the reality of it is that you cannot really build domestic democracy, which means that different factions, political factions and social classes, who may not like each other but have to learn to cohabit, have to learn not to want to eliminate their rivals and people that they don't like or factions that they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
This is the game that is being played in Iran. It's going to be a difficult and lengthy game. The danger that the Bush administration is kind of playing with is to kind of to play into the hands of the Iranian hardliners who want to say that it is the Bush administration and the Americans who are de facto supporting the students and the reformers and the democratic movement in Iran, and basically use this as an excuse to suppress them. I mean, and once this repression takes place, of course, the hardliners in Iran will be delegitimized and they will be left alone to confront the Bush administration, which has shown in the...
Kaveh Eshani, thanks very much. I'm afraid we are out of time, but we appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Kaveh Eshani is an editor of Guf. It's an editor. It's a magazine that means dialogue when translated from the Farsi. And he joined us from Chicago. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.